go.
That's
good
right.
Day, my
Hello,
people.
Good people. Buena Vista, FM land.
We're doing our due today. Right. Another hot day in July. Oh, my goodness, man.
I'm melting.
You know, it would be nice to every now and then just, you know, in the spring, you go to a place where it's a little bit cooler or warmer. Mm. And then in the summer, you go, you know.
What do they call them?
You got to live. You got to live in both ends.
Those people who travel to other countries when the seasons change. What do they call them again?
Migrators?
No. Yeah. There's a specific name.
Winter migration.
Yeah, but
I can't remember the name.
There's a name they use for people like that.
What?
You know? Yeah, they.
Because I likes the. I was born in a tropical country.
It's hot,
but man,
hot.
This you step outside, you feel like a lollipop. Well, you know, little lollipop, you're melting. Oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness.
That's right, good people. You're listening to Buena Vista FM.
Yes, this is DR Taino.
And the Love DJ. That's
doing
right.
Do as always from Hinase.
Wonderful prefecture of Okayama in Japan.
Yeah.
That's right, good people.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, we got to keep it real today. So what are we talking about? Let me think.
Do you want me to let me throw something out there?
You come up with
Let's
today's
go.
Topic.
Let's go.
What can we talk about?
You know
today?
What? We're gonna bring it. We're gonna break it down. Yeah, we're gonna break it down today. We're gonna drive people to the deep end. We're gonna do the entrepreneurial nation.
Man.
Entrepreneurial nation.
That's a big word.
Yeah. it's the dictionary.
Don't ask me to spell it.
Defines. I know, right? Try saying that 10 times. Entrepreneurial nation.
Yeah.
The dictionary defines it as characterized by the taking of financial risks in the hope of profit. Enterprising.
Interesting.
It is part of enterprising.
Yes, yes. Very, because remember, we have worn many hats and we've had many businesses.
Goodness.
We have had many businesses. Some have succeeded,
some have
failed.
Not, yes.
So that's
but
the
you
one
know
stop
what?
Shop.
The fact that they failed was a roadway for us to be where we are. Now,
yes.
What I want to ask you is where did you find that entrepreneurial sense of direction or that spirit, entrepreneurial spirit, where did that stem from?
Well, interesting question. You know, as a youngster,
when
we had hair, back long time ago,
long
time. After I left school, it's almost, I think it's a set way of how society sort of pigeonhole us into a certain kind of behavior or to do a certain something.
Mm.
So the basic thing is you get your education and then you go work for somebody else. You
for
get
another
a
company.
Good job for another company. To me, I thought that is what it was all supposed to be about. Till I start educating myself and asking myself these questions. And I was actually very actively involved in speaking to the owners of the companies, the managers of the company.
And gaining as much wisdom as you could.
I'm like, did you also work for someone else? And they would impart their wisdom to me. They would say, no, I decided to start this business. And I would be curious, how? And they would explain to me. Then I realized there were two certainties. You need to have money to make money.
Yeah.
That was my older understanding because that's what I was told. Okay. And they would say, either someone will employ you to make their dreams a reality.
They call them angel investments, I think.
Angel invest. Or you make your own dreams a reality.
Mm.
So for me, it was a very big wake-up call that, you know what? Perhaps I should do this on my own. And I remember the first company to ever let me go, when they gave me my severance package, you know, having to let me go.
For those of you playing the American home game.
That's right.
Usually that doesn't happen. You just get fired. They tell you clean out your locker.
That's
but
right.
In other parts of the world, when they let you go.
Yeah, yeah.
They give you a little, what Americans might call a golden parachute.
Yeah, but in my case, there was nothing golden about
that. Only the golden parachutes only apply to CEOs.
That's a rusty parachute. I got
golden
holes.
Golden parachutes only apply to CEOs. And the reason why they apply to CEOs is so that the CEO does not reveal the company's secrets.
There we go.
Don't go out there. and write a memo about my time at this company. No. Here's $100 million to keep your mouth shut.
It's a gag order. It's a gag order. He ain't going to say no nothing.
That's right.
So when it came to this thing about letting us go, the company was liquidizing or filing for bankruptcy. So large extent, each one got their pensions. You know, you didn't you did not get something extraordinary. They knew the company was closing, and each one, whatever they contributed towards the pension and the medical fund, they basically got that back. And they would pay you 3 months of salary that you would have earned. So it was not much. So my first company, small business, one-man business I started, was called Bonsai Graphic Designs. A small little graphic design company. It was just myself. I bought myself a computer. You know, okay, let me try to create business cards, letterheads, compliment slips. You know, the basic things, stationery you would need. But it was easier said than done, because that's the kind of job that I did for the company. So I thought, okay, I might as well do, you know, in the industry what I learned. And then it started failing. I realized there was no one. I had no mentor to teach me or to help me how to start the business, how to register the company, how to maintain your finances if you should employ people. I did not know. So for me, it was trial and error. It was just a matter of time before I ran out of cash and I had to go work for another company. So I continuously had to work for another company, because that's where there was stability.
So you feel that perhaps that's part of the reason why so many people are steer away from the anything
the
that has
factor.
To do
the
yeah
risk,
the risk factor
the
but
risk factor.
But you have to bear in mind as well, you know, many of us have responsibilities, you know.
Yeah,
many
you've
people
got realities.
Have
you have realities
you have realities
you
got to pay
your
phone bill and your electric bill and you know your water bill and everything in between.
You got to pay the horses too.
So it's very challenging. Do you feel that perhaps that's what keeps people kind of, for lack of a better word, chained to a 9-to-5? Do you feel that that's why they would rather engage in that than partake in entrepreneurship?
For me, you know what? It's basic. It is easier and it's less taxing and less cost. Because when somebody wants to start a business, number one, you know, I know everyone tells you if it's your passion, you know, you just do what you love to do and you know, and you start your business. But everything requires financial resources.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if you have some money to spare, now you start realizing starting a business, it's like a monster. It wants to be fed the cash that you have on hand in order to keep it afloat.
Or credit, or something along those lines.
Now,
yeah.
People always tell you, okay, within the first 5 years, either your company will fail or it will succeed. But that proved to be a myth as well. It depends. And this is what I've discovered for all the people in Buena Vista FM land. When it comes to business, these are the two essentials that you need to understand. Do not start a business based upon what you feel you want to do, what you like, that is your passion. Number two, start a business that there are a need for.
Yeah.
In society, look around you, look in society and look in your community, look around you and see what is there a need for. And once you know what the need is for, there will be a demand.
But you know what? I agree and kind of semi-disagree with you, because to a degree, and I'm just going to throw that, curveball at you. imagine someone who loves to clean.
Yeah.
Now they can go into... They can start a business which will require, to a degree, minimal investment, but they can go into maybe detailing vehicles, into cleaning houses, into, like, if you have an eye for detail, an attention to detail, and you're very meticulous about that, then you could go into that field if that's something that you like.
Yeah.
But you still would need some
moolah. I agree with you 100%. If you know you're good at something, hey, you know, go for it. If you know you've got an eye for detail, for cleaning, for this and for that, no, let me do it. But this is what I'm saying. If you know for a fact in your area, you have 6-7 other companies who also have
doing
a cleaning
the same thing.
Doing the same thing. Now you think, okay, I'm going to do it too. Nah, that's not when you're smart. Because most established companies have serious bankrollers. They have,
and not just that, but they also have a certain track record or they have...
they've been around for a little while.
Yeah, that trust
They are not newcomers. They've been, since 1967, we've been cleaning your house. Okay? Your ass just came on the scene yesterday. Oh, I'm going to rule the world. I ping in the brain.
Yeah.
No. In other words, although people in Buena Vista FM land, I love saying this. In life, when it comes to job and entrepreneurship and business, there are, once again, two other certainties. So we've got four in total. So these are the two, okay? If you want to start a business, if that is something that you really want to do, you need to make 100% sure, number one, as I have said, that there is a demand for it.
Yeah.
And number two, you need to make sure that it is just a thing to pay the bills.
Yeah. Do it a needs job, to cover your basics.
Do
yeah.
a job. It doesn't matter what job it is. Do a job that pays your bills, that pays your rent. It's as simple as that. The other job, do what fuels your passion. Because if you know you're a passionate painter, if that is something that you love doing...
There has to be a certain duality.
Duality. In other words, what is your passion fuels your soul, is what makes you truly happy. And the mistake many people make is they take that passion and now they want to make money.
They run with it.
They run with it. Mm. And now before you know it, your creativity are being stunned by the need to have to produce because you have to get paid for it. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a passion. It now becomes a job. How many times did
forced
that happen?
They call it forced creativity.
Give a classical case in point about forced creativity.
Yeah,
when
sometimes
somebody gotta pay you.
You see. Let's say an up and coming artist, a singer, or something like that. You see the first album or the second album. They're like, my goodness, this artist. And the minute they sign into a rock, some kind of record label, or something like that, their quality boom diminishes.
Why that is?
Because it's forced creativity. Mm. You know, I'm a writer. So if somebody comes up to me and says, write a poem, okay. Like, I'm just going to sit there and wonder.
Put something on it. Put something
like,
on
what
it.
What do you want me to say
I'll
in the poem?
I'll pay you some cash for that, baby.
I'm going to pay you X amount of money for you to do this and to do that. You know, that's challenging. But to a degree also, as you said, and I completely agree that there has to be a certain duality to life. We have to tap into our creative inner self to be able to grow as an individual. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that have untapped talents. Mm-hmm, when I was a kid, I used to do this, and I stopped because you never know how that can lead you into something else.
But once again, we talk about need and demand in an industry that requires not just financial resources, but also entrepreneurship and also wisdom, intellect, insight, and your own experiences. Mm. Because anyone can start a business, but to maintain a business, that is completely something else. Mm. So what I'm saying to people in Buena Vista FM land, if you have a passion for writing, okay, go ahead and write if you want to. But remember, you have the realities of your home. In other words, when you have a job, are you doing it to support a lifestyle or are you doing it to earn a living? Mm. Now, this is where it becomes very, very important. He is richest who's content with less. Mm. If you have a very basic lifestyle, you don't need that much. You can definitely thrive on your passion by having a small little business.
Yeah.
But the moment you start creating a lifestyle and now your income depends on how you live and how you can spend that money, that's where it becomes a dangerous gauntlet.
Mm, mm.
So people need to understand, you know what? All it does sometimes, it requires an opportunity, somebody to give you an opportunity. Entrepreneurship is fantastic, but also the size of the business are very important because you are the owner.
If you're a one-man show.
You're a one-man show. Too many people want that title of CEO, president.
CFO.
CFO and OFO and UFO. All kind of crazy stuff. UFO. Oh, come on, man.
He's the UFO of the company.
You know, so many people want to be the owner of the company, but also everything have income, it has expenses, and it's got income, okay?
Mm.
And it needs stock. So it's almost... if you are having a business that has to do with stock acquisition or something where you have to buy.
Oh yeah, when you go public. Oh my goodness. When you go public,
that is a completely different thing.
With that in mind, thank you so much for tuning in.
Listening to Buena Vista FM.
And yeah, this is DR Taino and my boy.
That's right.
Co-pilot.
Love DJ.
Doing our due today on the entrepreneurial nation.
That's right.
Only at Buena Vista FM.
That's right. And remember, people,
send
drop
us an email. You.
Info at Buena Vista FM Radio.
.com. No, not radio. BuenaVistaFM.com. Info at BuenaVistaFM.com.
That was the old one, remember?
Way back in the day.
That was way back in the day. Oh, New York City, remember that?
Oh my goodness.
Now it's BuenaVistaFM.com. And remember, click on
support.
Support us.
Goes a long way. It goes a very long way.
Okay. So when it comes to the entrepreneurial aspect of.
Hold on to that thought. Because this is my thing. When it comes to stock, I've always seen it as a double-edged sword.
Mm.
On one end, yes, you have access to perhaps unlimited funds.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, you're
playing
your
stock market.
Your company goes public, you know, you are, you know, Joe, happy go lucky, and you know, what you sell is happiness. Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you know, you were only selling X amount of happiness per year, but now you go public and now you're able to multiply that. Mm. You know, now you can reach more people. Now you can do so much more.
Mm.
That may be a good thing, but on the flip side of that, and this is my question to you. Mm. Do you feel that when companies decide to go public, they lose track of who they are because now they have a lot more responsibilities to other people than their original message was or their original approach was to begin with?
Many companies have fallen prey to that.
Mm.
Many of them. Because remember, people should not have dreams of grandeur and illusions. Business is about one thing, money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is the sad and that's the true reality. It's about money. You going public,
La
it's
mula.
About shares, it's about increasing the value of your share, and it's about making a profit. It's about money.
You have a fiscal responsibility.
You have fiscal responsibility.
Yeah,
you have shareholders. You can buy your stock. People in Buena Vista FM land, yes, you can make money on the stock market. Oh, you can make a lot of money, but you can also lose very, very bad.
Very
I've been
quickly.
There, done that, and got that T-shirt. Never again. Okay? Do not engage when it comes to games of chance. When it comes to stock market, it's taking a big risk, especially when it's other people's money.
Mm.
If it's your own money, you have it here today. There were times when I was much younger and I had this in the stock market. Oh, you make so much money the one day, the next day you lose everything. It's a volatile
and uncertain.
It's a very uncertain industry. My thing is, I was always told by my late dad, like, you know what? What you do with your hands, the labor with your hands, and there's always great integrity and great worth in a day's labor.
And I want to touch on something that that you said before.
Mm.
You spoke about opportunity. I have a personal motto, which is one of the hardest things anyone to receive is an opportunity.
Mm.
If you're hungry one day, somebody can give you food. If you're missing some shoes, somebody can give you a pair of boots. But who's going to give you an opportunity
to change?
To not just to change, but for
also
you
to advance.
Show
yes.
yourself and your skills. You know.
Yeah. So. You know, when it comes to business and being given an opportunity, you want clients, you want customers to give you an opportunity to present to them a new product, a new kind of service as an entrepreneur, as a business owner that you want to present them. In Japan has a very interesting model when it comes to business. The worker is also the owner. So whereas in
that's
most,
interesting.
Yeah, because in most companies, the CEO is far removed from the factory.
Yeah.
The president, he doesn't get close to the factory floor. He's not the worker. He manages from his high ivory tower, his empire. Whereas in Japan, the CEO and the president.
They sit down. There's an airline.
They are also part of the employees.
There's
the
a famous airline, a Japanese airline. I don't know the name, and I'm not going to disclose. Not sponsored by. But I remember seeing an article or a report on the CEO, and he was making like super low. I think it was about $100,000 per year. This is a multi-billion-dollar company, and the CEO is making $100,000. And when they asked him, like, you know, compared to other CEOs the world over, you know, a lot of these CEOs are making tens of millions of dollars, and mm-hmm. here you are only making $100,000. And he said, the thing is that, you know, I need to make sure, I need to look after my employees. These mm-hmm. people are the
They're
ones.
They're the ones doing all the work.
And not just that, but these people are keeping our company alive.
So
that's a huge responsibility as well for anybody. If you're going to partake in entrepreneurship, you have to take that into account. You're going to be responsible for people's lives. You're going to be responsible directly
hands-on
or indirectly.
Experience. You need to have a hands-on experience in your company.
Exactly.
But too many people thinking of the get-rich-quick scheme.
Oh, snap.
Many people want to get...
Let's not go there.
Quick. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say it.
Play the lotto.
I'm going to say it. People want to get rich quick. Yeah. Most people, I want to start my business
overnight, millionaire.
Overnight so they can make their money. It's all about the intentions and how you acquire such wealth and such money and material things. We spoke about this in one of our episodes.
If you don't value it, I mean, if you're not able to, if you don't know where it comes from, you will never be able to value it.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to value it, it's going to come today and it's going to go tomorrow.
Indeed. So let's break this down. We talk about CEOs and going public and talking about shares, but let's bring this down to the average Joe soap. Let's say, for argument's sake, you want to start a business. Okay. Now, first we
car wash.
In the car wash. That's a good movie, right?
I'm going to do our do at the car wash.
Back in the day.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to wash cars and make millions.
Okay. So first things first, when you're about to start a business as an entrepreneur, when you say, I'm sick and tired of working for someone else, okay? Because when they pay your salary, unfortunately, many companies think they are buying livestock or they're buying property. Hmm. So they start mistreating you. And most people who want to become entrepreneurs, they are sick and tired of having their civil liberties stripped from them, being abused, being verbally accosted, being treated like nothing, like property. That's why they say, you know what? I'm going to start my own business and I will treat people better. But what they don't realize is just the implications behind starting your own business. Mm. Sometimes business is ruthless. It depends what you are doing. Mm. So if you want to start a business, don't do it because you want to compete against somebody else. Do it to sustain your living and not a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to simplify your existence. If you want to start a business, which means, okay, there's not going to be a steady flow of money coming into your bank account every month. You're going to sit with a little bit. So now you need to work smart. What is luxury? What
versus
is
necessity.
Versus necessity.
Yeah.
In other words, so you want to start a business? Ask around. Ask people. See what there is truly a need for. You end up doing something that you might don't even have the experience for, but you have the skills of work.
Yeah.
So you're looking for something. Okay, let me see if I can do something like that. Then... don't be hasty to start registering a business.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody makes that mistake. I want to start a business. Now I'm going to register my business. When you register a business, guess what? You need to start paying taxes. There's X, Y, and Z overheads. You need to get an accountant. Woohoo! It gets really expensive.
And keep all your receipts.
Keep all your receipts. Okay, there are things that are tax deductible. There are things that are not. It becomes a gauntlet. In other words, give entrepreneurship a try without really committing to starting a business. In terms of having a location, in terms of having
an office, this,
having
that,
staff.
Yeah.
No. Start off small. You work with your company, with your client base. You start small. When you see things start to create stability and it creates a natural flow, then you start acquiring the things that you would need. Okay, now I'm going to register my business. They will ask, how long have you been in business?
Let me get a bigger desk. Let me get a bigger desk.
And work from home. Many people are too quick to jump on the bandwagon of getting an office. Why pay somebody else's rent if you can use a small space inside your own house to actually allocate towards your business.
And what you can do is, if you need to, at least in the U.S., you can get a P.O. box. So let's say rather than use your own your address as a
they call a virtual office. It's called virtual office.
So you could have a virtual office at home, but you could do a P.O. box. So you go down to the post office and you just say, you know what, like, I need to open a P.O. box, and that's gonna be the address of your main address for your company. You can always switch it later. You can always change it.
Most people, when they have to register a business, they ask, what is your business address? Most people put their home address down as the business address, but there are many companies who are offering what we call virtual office space. Yeah. In other words, that will be your office. They will answer the phone calls. That is your registered business address, and you have a virtual office. You go in when you need to. You share office space with somebody else. That is also a little bit of cost, but it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can have it if it's really
necessary. If you do an online search, you'll be able to find. Yeah.
If it's really necessary.
Virtual office space. Yeah.
You know. So whatever business you're going into, it requires planning. You can't just like, okay, you need to have millions. No, you have to start small. And after you register your business or choose not to register your business, you make the products available to people. It need to cover your basics.
Yeah.
Don't have dreams of grandeur to want to now expand the business. That's where people burn their fingers,
The reason why you have to start small is very simple. Mm. Even you have sequoias, some of the biggest and tallest trees in America, in the world. They started as a small seed.
They like acorns.
Started like a seed. You have to start small.
You have to start small.
Even if in your mind you can see in the next 3 to... And that's another thing. And this is something that I wanted to ask you, the Love DJ. Many years ago, I heard the phrase, you have to have a 5-year plan. You need to have a 5-year plan. Do you think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, that is something that could be applied to sort of a blueprint for any and everyone who wants to start a business? Do you think that they should look into a 5-year plan, meaning, okay, the first year, this is what I'm hoping on doing. Let me try to get this off the ground so I can do this and that. The second year, once I get the ball rolling, let me see how I can grow, etc. Or do you think that's not something that is feasible?
Back in the day, you could think like that. You can't do that anymore. The same as with COVID. When COVID happened, it completely changed the business model of most companies.
Yeah.
Many companies closed down. Yeah. It went under. They don't exist anymore.
Don't even talk about those mom and pop shops there.
Yo, man.
Most of them are gone.
In other words, you can no longer have a 5-year plan for one job alone. But what you need to have a plan for is to provide for your living, not a lifestyle. In other words, if people really want to work, there is work.
Yeah.
If you to pay your bills, there's really a job. Many people don't want to become entrepreneurs post-COVID because they felt that pinch.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes people feel it's more secure to
work. And the thing is, the world is just coming out of it, and it's just there's too much uncertainty right now. Now let me go ahead. Yeah, I have savings. Let me go and take it. Let me do this with. Yeah.
Savings, whatever you spend today, you're going to have to work for tomorrow.
Pay it back tomorrow.
Don't use the money into a business now. And this is another thing. Don't start a business where you need to wait for customers.
Oh.
I'm telling you that straight off the bat. Don't decide, I'm going to start a little cafe. I'm going to start a restaurant. Don't start any business where you need to sit and wait for people. No. Rather best to go into a consulting, something where you can actively be mobile and engage people all the time for services.
Get yourself a laptop let's go.
Bam, bam, you can go from point A to point B. You don't need to have an office. But the moment people start something, I'm passionate about cooking. Now you're going to open up a small little restaurant. Now you need to get staff. Now you need to get stock.
And food. That's another thing. If the people don't come in, let's say you prepare all this food today and nobody comes in, what are you going to do with all that food?
Exactly.
You can't eat it
all. Yep. Our own experience, the best teacher. We've had a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
We've had import-export businesses. We've had small graphic design companies. We have small media companies. We have had so many businesses. They were on the verge of succeeding, but then they failed because the industry are changing all the time.
Constantly. So you have to be... This is another
flexible.
Thing.
You have to be flexible.
It's not just flexible, but you have to be adaptable.
You need to be able to adapt
to the changing environment if you are... If you're an individual who is considering entrepreneurship. You have to. You mm-hmm. have got to be able to adapt because no 2 days are going to be the same.
That's why
today, yesterday you made $1 million. Tomorrow you lose 2 million. Different.
Because my thing is, when people have a business and it's busy thriving, you rather want to have 10, 20 customers and 20 clients that you know your bills are being paid and you have a little bit extra to go on holiday. The moment you, like I said before, the moment you start expanding, now I'm going to increase my stock, I'm going to increase my clients, I'm going to increase my staff. You start increasing it so much, you're going to have to maintain what you're now aspiring for. Mm-hmm. Now there's more money coming in. You're not going to work less. You're going to work more. Because remember, if you close the company, other people will lose their livelihoods as well. If it is just yourself.
Who depend on you.
Who depends on you. And my thing is also employing people. Ah, mamma mia. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
That's right, people. This is Buena Vista FM.
DR Taino with my co-host DJ. Doing our duo
that's
today
right,
at the Entrepreneurial Nation.
That's good, right, people.
Send us an email.
info@BuenaVistaFM.
So we can give you a shout-out or three.
That's right.
To all our people.
And click on support.
Yes,
my
please
good
do.
People. Now, all right, Lazar, when we spoke about when it comes to a business, we have employed people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Did we burn our fingers?
People want to miss it, man. You have a good heart.
That was
and then you decide, you know what? I want to employ people so they can provide for their
families. The community.
We've been there. We've done it. We got that T-shirt, man.
Give them an opportunity.
But you know what? Most employees do not have your best interest at heart. They are not the owners. You're the one who often don't have a salary. You run the risks.
Yeah.
But when things go bad, some of the employees, not everybody, some of them want to say, listen, where's my money? Oh, you know the business is doing bad. They don't care. They just want their money.
Yeah.
They are not the owners. So they have a lack of tolerance for the circumstances that you are facing. Because that is the
mistake. And it's understandable because clearly you didn't clock in to work for free.
You know, the thing is,
those days those days are gone.
The problem is,
hopefully,
many people who work for you or many people who know or hear that you have a business, they think, ching, ching, they think you are rich.
Yeah. They think you're rolling on dough.
They're thinking, oh, the fact that you have a business, oh, you must have a lot of money. They have no inkling how you've struggled to get to where you are and how you're trying
and
to survive.
And the challenges. Because that's the thing. The things that you have to keep. Sometimes you don't bring stuff home because you have to bring that same stuff or because you don't have enough to cover your house and your employee and your business. So you're like, you know what, my business was keeping my house going. Let me invest a little bit more. Let me drop a little bit more on that business. And people have to look at both sides of the coin. You know?
I always say he is richest who's content with less. And the mistake many people make when their businesses start doing well is they try to build a wealthy empire, a big house, more cars, more this and more that. You can't do that. If you are covering your basics and you have some extra to go on holiday, stick to that model. Don't want to start thinking, I want to make more. Where greed comes in business, that's where egos come in, and then it's a pride before the fall.
Yep.
And too many people do that.
That's one of the biggest issues. That's why sometimes you also see when partners go into businesses together, how their ego. Okay, well, we started this company together, and you know, blah blah blah
all
blah. I
money.
Was the one that you
all
know
all about money.
That's very challenging. That's very difficult.
So what I'm saying is, people, there are hope. If you want to start your own business, it is always good. But you know, go at it as a one man show. You know, if you want to help somebody, you know what? You can help them, but first create stability of income for yourself so you can provide for your family and for your livelihood.
And educate yourself as much
and
as possible. There's a lot of, at least in the States, I cannot speak for any other country
as of
right now. In the United States, you have a lot of tax deductible things. You can be it like travel, be it gasoline, be it whatever it is that you're engaging in. Chances are, some of it you might be able to have as a tax write-off. Uh-huh, so educate yourself as much as possible.
Taxation.
Yes, and as much as you may or may not like it, either find a way to hire an accountant or learn accounting as much as you can.
You know what? I would say educate yourself on accounting to a certain point. Because remember, you don't know the pitfalls of taxation. You don't know the ins and outs of business.
Very true.
There are a lot of shady cats out there, man. Yeah. These accountants, woo-hoo! Oh, my goodness. Heard some horror-ass stories
who
ran away with somebody's money. If I see him, it's going to be misunderstood.
Let me tell you a story. This is from my college years. This is from my college years. Personally, I dislike...
Me, myself.
I dislike accounting
woo-hoo!
As much as I dislike okra, if not even more. Everyone who knows me knows that I dislike okra with a passion. I cannot stand okra.
Must love meth.
Now this is the thing. My first year of college, I went to my first day of class.
Yeah, yeah.
And our professor, he was a very learned individual, extremely well versed in his field, and he said, "I'm going to summarize what accounting is," and I said, "Okay." So he said, accounting is the business of debits and credits. Sometimes the credits can be debits, and sometimes the debits can be credit. And that very moment.
I'm like, say what?
Nothing made sense.
Nothing. Max, sounds like I'm... That's not supposed to.
Like, you're telling me that a goat can somebody be an eagle?
That's right. What the heck?
The business of nature is that a goat can sometimes be an eagle. Like what?
It depends. It depends on your teacher.
He was extremely brilliant.
Yeah.
Now that same day, he said, "I'm gonna give you a little." This was a joke at that time. I don't know if it's still. He said it was a joke within the accounting community, and there was this big company who needed to hire accountants. Okay, so they put out an ad, and all these people come in, and the person that was doing the interviewing, he put the number 4 on just a sheet of paper. So he said, "This is I'm just handing out a test. What number is this?" And you had these people. They took out their rulers. They took out their calculators, and they're multiplying and dividing. And that is a 4. Okay, thank you so much for coming in. We will stay in touch. You know, so one after the other came in and went, blah, blah, blah. This gentleman walks in. He says, yes, thank you so much for coming in. We see all your credentials and blah, 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 blah. And just want to give you a little test. What number is this? The guy looks at the sheet of paper, looks up at the guy interviewing him, and he said, "What number do you want it to be?" You're hired. You start tomorrow.
In other words, my nickname is Preacher. Watch my sermon for today is "Do What the Guy Wants Done." It's as simple as that. Do what the guy wants done.
Plain and simple.
So we had a very good accountancy teacher at school. He, because of apartheid in South Africa and segregation,
the good old days,
the late unpleasantness. Okay, he said, "Remember, you are being educated to work for somebody else, but I'm going to teach you so you can know it and learn it for yourself, to do it for yourself and not for someone else. Because the way you do accounting for someone else is very different to how you do accounting for yourself.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Hmm. Different approach, yeah.
You understand the risks involved. Your accountant, he wants to get paid.
Of course.
He's trying to find the shortcuts.
So he can get paid again.
You can get paid again and everything.
In full.
You do it so you can keep your head above water. So there's an intentions behind everything. So when you become an entrepreneur, what are your intentions? Okay? If your intentions is to get wealthy, you're going to run certain risks. Yeah. If your intentions are to sustain a living, you're going to be safe.
Yeah.
If your intentions are to expand, there are risks involved. The more you want to expand your wealth, the greater the risks
it's
become.
It's like an empire. You know, you could have 100,000
at what cost?
And then you're going to go against one that has 50,000, but you just never know how well trained those 50,000 are in relation to your 100,000. So everything is a risk. Everything is a risk.
Everything is a risk. Because remember, you learn little from your victories, but you learn much from your loss. So business and entrepreneurship is about the certainty that your failure is one step towards success. That you have to accept the risks involved for failure. That you should not allow your failure to be your downfall. It should be your learning experience to get up and then try again. But unfortunately, if you have lost all your money in a venture to start a business, you will really feel crippled to want to start again because you have zero in the bank account. It's simple. Nothing stops you from working for another company. Go work for another company and you start building your reserves
again. And start again.
But when it comes to a loan, people in Buena Vista
You said the L word.
Oh, no.
You said the L word.
Money, 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 money. In other words, if you want to start taking out a loan to either expand your business or to start up your business, you want a startup business loan. That loan want to be repaid. You don't know the future.
And the variables.
And the variables. So you're going to have to pay off that loan for years to come for your business. So if you can do it yourself, good. Start small. Many people want a big loan.
Holler at your family.
Holler at your family. Yeah, what's up, Jack? Yeah, I want to have some money.
Nah, no. Man, you still owe me $20 from 1982. Like, what? You remember
You remember that? Go forgive and forget. Don't look back. Okay? Most people want to take out a big loan, number one, for startup cost for the company.
Yeah.
It's to get your office, to get your equipment, to get your hire staffing, to get your rent, and to hire people. Don't do that. If you go for a loan, the bank are looking for collateral.
Yeah.
What can you give us in return should your business fail? Now, the mistake people make is...
Well, you can pay with or through.
Don't get me started on that. No point of Steve
now. Moving on.
I'm not
moving. We're not touching
you
that.
Rather want to pay with you, it. You
not just, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
No, that's a long story.
Literally.
Anyway, so what happened is, if you take out a loan, you're going to have to attach your assets to that. In other words, what liquid assets do you have? What money do you have?
House.
What property do you have to attach to this loan? People. Yeah. Please.
Cars.
Don't do that.
Etc. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Jewelry.
You know. Have all that money for the now so you can build on a business of the uncertainty of what's coming. And people in Buena Vista FM land, let's have an argument say you're starting a business and you have three clients. Never trust what people are saying when it comes to business. If they tell you, hey, open up your business, I will be your client. Open up your restaurant, I will be one of your supporters.
I'll go there. I'll be the first one.
Do it. They will push you to open up your business. And the moment you open up your business, then they're gone. Yo, where Johnny at? I don't know. He gone. Yeah, but he told me I must open up the restaurant. Where he at? And the very people who encouraged you to open up the business
are the last ones to
ones to show up, or that will actually
pitch in.
Yeah. Okay? So be very careful not to be hyped by society, by friends, by family, or by customers, or people that hear you want to open up a business.
And if you are going to open up a restaurant, let's say hypothetically speaking, let's just say you want to open up a restaurant. You know, you're going to call it your mama's, you know, fried chicken, you know, whatever it was that you want to call it. And you have to look at the demographics of the area. If there's 20 other fried chicken places, it boils down to educating yourself.
That's right.
You have to find out the demographics.
What is their need?
Okay, I want to open up a nightclub. Yeah, but 90% of the people in the area are in their 90s. So why are you opening up a nightclub in an area where most of the people are going to go to sleep at 6 in the afternoon?
And especially if you're in an area and you want to rent, let's say you want to rent either restaurant space, office space, or space to let. Okay?
To rent.
Ask yourself a question.
To let. That to is let? A South African thing. Yeah, to let.
To let. Oh, some say toilet. I don't care.
To let.
To toilet. So. Hey. So
to let what? To let me in?
Yeah, let me in. I don't know. Give me some love or something. Okay. So when you're looking for space for your business, okay.
Rental.
People in Buena Vista FM land, I want you to try the following. Ask yourself the question, why is that space empty?
Mm.
Ask yourself the question,
how long has
it been empty? Ask yourself the third question.
Why did it fail?
Why did that business fail? Okay?
Yeah.
Once you have these answers, now I know. They open up a cafe in a place where they are not a support for a cafe.
Yeah.
Because everything you have available in the cafe are far cheaper in the supermarket down the road.
Across the street.
In other words, don't be blinded by your need to start a business. I found this perfect little spot. It's good. Overlooking the water. It's
you
cheap.
You
it's
have
small.
To see the sunsets in it's that everything. Place.
Oh, the rent is not that high. What you opening up? I'm a little bistro. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't care what kind of experience you have, but there's a reason why other companies are closing. Something happened that their business are no longer thriving on that location. And people, when it comes to business, location, location, location. That is the absolute thing.
We gotta cut to commercials.
That's what people, thank you for listening to
Brandon. Thank you so much for listening in. You're listening to the Entrepreneurial Nation. This is DR Taino
and the Love DJ
doing our do as always.
That's right, people. And remember, for your comments, suggestions, please email us
at
info@BuenaVistaFM.com.
If you have horror radio stories. Come on with the radio, man.
Man, whatever, man. It's info@BuenaVistaFM.com.
That's right.
People know it.
Radio. That email is so old.
I know,
that
right?
That email is super old.
It will bounce
old.
Back. You'll get a mail server
goodness.
Error.
Oh,
and remember,
my
people,
goodness.
Click to support us as well. Please.
Do.
Really,
please. Please do.
This Entrepreneurial Nation, we're talking about, should you start your own business? If you start your own business, what should you know? What should you do? What you should not do? For me is, if you have a nest egg, let's say for argument's sake, you've got 10K. Okay, 10,000 US. Don't just start your
not
business.
Not 10 women by the name of...
Yeah.
That's a long story.
That's
don't
a
get...
long... long story. Long, long.
Long.
Long, long, long story. If you have a nest egg of finances, always remember, whatever you're going to spend now, you're going to have to work for later.
Repay back. Yep.
You have to repay that back later. That money is much better off gaining interest than you actually gambling with that money and might losing it all in one shot. For when it comes to the business, I'm not deterring people in Buena Vista FM land from opening. Please, by all means, try your business. But you must be, how can I say?
Be ready for failure.
Be ready for failure.
Be ready and be prepared.
Be prepared.
But look at it as a learning curve.
It's a learning curve.
It's a you're gonna might trip, you might fall, but just keep going.
I always tell
keep
people,
on moving forward.
Starting a business is the same as a relationship.
Yeah.
You have high hopes
and low
and you have low hopes. You have aspirations for what you want to do, what should become of it, but you have no guarantee. Your business might last a moment, an instance, a season, or for a long time.
Yeah.
But there is absolutely no guarantee. There are too many variables.
Very
added.
True.
Okay?
Very true.
Because many people want, I've lost so much money, I want to make that money back. It's gone. In business, if you have lost, you have lost. Don't look in the direction you're not walking. Too many people looking at that closed door for such a long time, they can't see other doors opening up. Some people say, I've burned my fingers trying to start a business. That's good. Power to you if you want to work for somebody else. But let me tell you one thing. Once you've had your own business and you've tried it a few times.
It's very difficult to go back to work for someone else.
Let me tell you one thing. The moment you're going to work for somebody else, something's going to give.
Yeah. And it's not just that. I feel like sometimes what deters people from following the entrepreneurship route is that they, you know, well, I make X number of thousands a month at this company. I'm not going to risk that because of my lifestyle, hypothetically speaking, let's just say you're making just out of the blue, you're making $10,000 a month working for somebody else, making somebody else's dream a reality. Mm. Now you turn around. And if you want to open up your own business, you know you're probably going to make half of that. So you're going to go from 10,000 to 5,000, but you're going to be working for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very big difference. And also when it comes to having hands on your time, not time on your hands. When you have hands on your time.
Yeah, that's one of the things we always say. So many people
have
too much
hands on
their time.
Because remember, discipline starts when nobody's looking around.
Yeah.
Now remember, when you used to work for a company, you know, John, where he at? You're supposed to clock in at 8. Okay, yes, sir. I'm starting at 9,
sir. He had a bathroom break 20 minutes ago.
You had the regiment of very disciplined time and skills and of responsibilities when you work for another company. You get in at a certain time. You get ready for lunch at a certain time. You knock off at a certain time.
Yeah.
You go home. That's where it ends.
Done.
But when you have your own business, it's a little bit of a different.
You gotta bring it. Yeah. Your business needs you. And the thing is,
all the time. Sometimes, 24/7.
Sometimes, unfortunately, you're gonna hire individuals that they need you even for breathing. You need to breathe, Johnny. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You need people.
You need to
either hire people that are very competent in what they do, or you need to handle everything yourself. That's just the way that it is.
We've had experiences where we employed people. We've even had a traveling company.
Oh my goodness.
It's you have a hospitality in hospitality. You in travel. You know,
yeah, because we've had a lot of years in hospitality, so a lot of experience.
So we had a tour operating company, two operators. We had a tourist guide, everything. We had everything, and the problem is this: they think a lot of money are coming in, your employees. Until we said, "Listen, everybody, if there's nothing coming in, nobody's getting paid."
Yeah.
And suddenly their minds become fractured. Yeah, well, I've got responsibility. Well, so do I. I'm telling you, it's everybody's responsibility to try and gain business. Yeah, but you're the business owner. Yeah, but I also have to draw a salary, and so do you. If nothing is coming in, then where's the money supposed to come from?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Where are the salaries?
It doesn't matter how much your employees are jumping on your bandwagon. Yeah, I agree with you. When it comes to month end, they're going to knock on your door. Where's my money? They just don't understand that things can be very hard. So sometimes it's safer that you find your own way in the business, that you are one-man show and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Because people just don't understand. But remember, people, it is still possible. You can still start.
It's not impossible. Many people have done it. You know, it's just you have to figure out, you know, it's very interesting. If you ask somebody, how do you climb a tree? Somebody will say, well, I'll get a ladder. Somebody will bring this. Everybody will give you a different
answer perspective to the same problem.
But exactly. So you have to figure out, are you gonna build your own ladder? Are you gonna bring some kind of truck or something to get up there? You just have to climb that tree. You have to figure it out yourself.
I mean, there's a lot of people. We're talking about being prepared for the possibility of failure.
Yeah.
Now, people need to understand.
Mentally. Yeah.
You have to remember the following as well. You can also be a victim of your own success.
Oh, we didn't tap into that.
Oh, let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you one thing. Yes, you have
you
made
thought
it.
You were going to do a little, you know, I make pastries in the morning and I only sell 20 per day.
I've got fantastic.
And then somebody writes a review and now you're making 200 a day.
200 a day.
You can't even breathe.
Let me tell you one thing, people in Buena Vista FM land. If you want to be successful, you can be a victim to your own success, because once you become successful, don't think you'll have more free time.
Yep.
Don't think you'll be able to go on more holidays.
Yep.
You will literally be imprisoned in your own success.
Yeah.
Because you need to ask yourself, what was your intention to begin with? Mm. In other words, we've had opportunity where somebody were prepared to give X amount of money. Then we say, oh, now we're successful. No, it comes with strings attached to it. The moment you are extremely successful, you get busier and busier and busier and busier.
And next thing you know, you don't have time for your family. Next thing you know, you don't have time to even go watch a movie.
And then suddenly you get a heart attack because your health is giving in because of stress at work. No. Because at the end of the day, if you have, let's say for argument's sake, a restaurant, or let's say a small eatery, a cafe, you've got 10 tables. If you know your 10 tables, you are fully booked each and every night for the next 3 months, you are successful.
Yeah.
But now what many are doing, let me open up another.
I will never forget
a very dear friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name.
John.
He had in New York City, this friend of mine, he had a very successful restaurant.
Mm.
Very successful. It became world famous.
Wow.
It was filled to capacity each and every night.
I can attest to it. I've actually been there.
Okay.
I have been there, yeah.
And suddenly he said, hey, man, an investor offered me $10 million US to open up another cafe, another restaurant. And I'm like, okay. And he asked me to work on the proposal for the next location. And I told him, my man, don't do this. He's like, no. I'm like, let me tell you one thing. What you're doing right now is successful. Don't overextend yourself to try and duplicate and mirror the same model in another location.
No, yeah, but you want to open up a chain.
You got to expand.
You want to open up a chain, yeah.
And it never worked. It failed miserably. He had to pay that money back. He tried another location. I said, my man, don't do it. So if you are successful in the one location that you have, or you have a few customers and a clients, you are full to capacity, or you have the success of your existing clients,
yeah.
Don't get dreams of grandeur. Now you want to expand. People, hear what I'm telling you. If you want to expand, you're getting greedy. There is no other reason other than you expanding.
Don't bite.
It's for greed.
Don't bite more than what you can chew.
Greed to want to get more money.
Yeah.
If you have enough, that's okay. When you get greedy, let me expand.
Yeah.
Because all that money are not going to your employees. It's not to hold hands and kumbaya and help the needy. You want to expand so you can make profit, so you can have more money in your pocket. How much do you really need?
How
many people have burned their fingers. And like I told people in one of our episodes, when we approached...
And that's what leads to pyramid schemes too, but let's not even dive into that.
Let me go there. Okay? Like in one of our episodes when I discussed with you and with our listeners, when I approached an extremely wealthy man for a loan so we can open up a Japanese restaurant. Okay? And when he told me he's not going to give the money because... I don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
He said, I have integrity, I've got morals, I've got values, I've
You have everything that he didn't have.
That he didn't have. Yeah. And he said, did you really think I became this rich by being a nice guy? And that was an eye opener for me.
Mm.
And I've realized with wealth and with money comes greed and comes problems. Mm. You change who you are as a person. So when you want to start a business, go for it, but keep it small.
Hmm. Now, to wrap things up, because I think we've touched on a lot of subjects, and there's always room for
more. You can
always
email us, people.
You can always send us an email for anything that you feel that you can
contribute
topic,
to what you're going to say and everything.
We're always open to it.
So lastly, what do you say? DR, about this entrepreneurial nation. What is your last words of wisdom? In all honesty,
I feel that it is something that is definitely doable as long as you educate yourself. You have to educate yourself. And there's one thing that we didn't touch upon. When it comes to being an entrepreneur, you have to learn to be patient.
Yeah.
No matter how much, I planted the seed yesterday and I'm putting water and I'm, you know, the sunlight is giving it right. And it's going to take time. Everything is going to take time. You have to plant the seeds. You have to give it an opportunity for it to grow and do what it needs to. But you have to put in the time. So my aspiration or my words for anyone that wants to follow this path, just prepare yourself. Do all the due diligence you need to. If you need to start small, then start small. Everything begins somewhere, and everything is a learning curve.
Oh yeah.
So you need to make sure you're going to have disappointments, you're going to have long nights, you're going to have early mornings,
stress, problems.
Whatever it is that's going to happen, it's going to happen. It needs to work itself out
through money.
But it's going to help you perhaps find that zenith you're looking for.
I would definitely say know when to quit.
Oh, that is also, yeah.
Okay, because a lot of people, they want to beat a dead horse.
And my thing see is, how far it goes.
You see, I've put so much money into my business. I'm not going to give up. No, know when to stop, when to say enough is enough. You won't get that money back. Things have changed. It is not successful. It is not moving forward. Accept defeat with a smile. It is how you face such defeats that will determine how you will get up. Your intentions for starting the business need to be very important. Your intentions need to be to sustain a living and not a lifestyle. That's the most important thing. Know, like DR said, understand what defeat is like. Be accepting, be open to it. don't be afraid to transform and change. Learn to adapt and be patient, because a tree bear fruit in its own time and in its own season. Everything with a beginning, it also do have an end. Don't have dreams of grandeur. I'm going to have my business for 50 years. Learn to have a sort of a backup plan. Know when to quit when you are ahead.
And I've never understood one thing, the Love DJ. Maybe we can touch on that on the one of the next shows. But this unending desire for people to become the next billionaire. I want to be a billionaire. I want to, you know, I want a 50, you know, a 25 meter yacht. I want to be able to, you know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the finer things of life. But when you make money your number one priority, your only desire, the only reason why you wake up in the morning, you have to really evaluate your existence. That's just my take, you know, to each their own, you know, different strokes for different folks.
But when
you make, you know, I want to be the next billionaire. I'm going to, you know, I have what it takes to become the next.
For those people out there, do yourself a favor and watch the movie called The Great Dictator.
Oh, the original one, 1940, with my boy Charlie Chaplin.
If you people in Buena Vista FM land, try and watch The Great Dictator.
You must.
And in The Great Dictator, there's a fantastic quote about greed.
Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we'd have shut ourselves in.
Those kind of quotes that come from the movie The Great Dictator. People in Buena Vista FM land,
one of my favorites.
I wish all of you the very best in love, light, and life. Whatever you choose to do with your jobs, do what you got to do.
Do it.
Go for it and do it, and do it well. Remember, he is richest who is content with less. Discipline starts when no one is around. Work to sustain a living and not try to support a lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, you will not take out of this world and out of a dream. Those things will gather dust. So do what really matters
most. And let go of that Pharaoh mentality.
That's right.
I call it the Pharaoh mentality. People wanting to acquire all this gold, so they can take it to the hereafter.
That's not
going to go anywhere.
Good people, what if you stay in land?
You know.
That's right.
DR Taino signing off.
That's right, good
Peace
people.
And love, my peoples. That's right.